I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Companion for News.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
So much fun to have Devin Kaufusi here in the studio on KSL's Unrivaled. It's our Players Club. Jazz up right now across the street. End of the first quarter. High-scoring basketball across the street with the world champ Milwaukee Bucks in town. 35-30, the Jazz lead at the end of the first quarter. Okay, I know it's the preseason, and maybe it's to get it out right now, but Rudy Gobert was two steps back. He was two steps back behind the free throw line and took a shot, and it swished.
I mean, he's halfway to a three-pointer.
I wouldn't say halfway, but, I guess to the full court. I mean, listen, I would have given him one more step back. After that, I want him to work on those threes during the offseason, because I just want to see him make – I want to see him take a three-point shot during the season. I want to see one that, like – is close. You know what I mean? That, like, I want to see him go 1 for 4 on the season from behind the three-pointer.
Oh, that's 25%.
Yes, and when he makes that, and Quinn says, look, you're only
got to get 2 for 4 is?
40.
50%.
Two for four. I was saying 2 for 5.
Yeah, 2 for 4 is 40%.
But they wanted to get him to, they're like, look, team average is almost 40. Let's get you to make 2 out of 5. During the regular season, then we'll step up your game. We'll double your production the next year.
You'll create a monster.
Well, there it is. They replayed it.
They replayed it for us.
That was almost
the top of the key.
Look at these guys. Yeah, look at the bench. They're like, look at this cat. Nobody wants to really – they're all kind of smiling, though. All right, so the Jazz are up. They just showed Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, snugly sitting between Dwayne Wade and Ryan Smith. Who, of course, they put on a show at the Silicon Slopes conference today. Talked a little bit more about the rebranding or possible rebranding of that black and white color scheme at some point with the Jazz. Right now, they're wearing the association jerseys, those whites with the green, blue, and yellow accents, and then the court is the association court as well. So, I don't know. We're on like jersey watch now, Devin. I know that's important for you, young kids.
I miss the mountains. I miss the Jazz mountains.
Now, look, you mentioned the powder blue that AK used to wear.
Darren Williams and stuff.
Here's the thing. That's one jersey they have not decided. Of all the colors they've rolled out, they haven't tried the powder blue yet. They haven't done those yet. They haven't gotten old enough for us to go.
That's a throwback.
That is a throwback, because they still are in that category of those look terrible. So we'll see if they ever get back to those. Now, you guys were able to have something, I mean, a wholly unique, I would hope, across the world of college football. I certainly hope teams wouldn't have to go through something like this. Mm-hmm. But you guys went back to the memorial for Aaron Lowe back in Dallas this week. Team plane got filled up with the team, with the staff, with the coaches. Uh-huh. Describe what that experience was like for you guys and going on that trip and experiencing that memorial, I guess, first person, what it was like as a team. And even walking up to that USC game and what that whole experience has been like for you guys.
Yeah. You know, we had the bye week and we had the incident through that. And so that was just a really heavy week. And that just felt like, you know, going in slow motion through that week with everything. Just with the weight of the emotions and personally as well as everyone on the team.
Was that helpful to maybe have that extra week?
That was very helpful, that bye week. And so just like, you know, the tempo of things. But everyone was feeling it. It was just a cloud over us that whole week, you know, with the loss of Aaron. And then we get into the real game week and prep. And I think we just knew, like, you know, this is bigger than football. And, you know, what we have here is a real brotherhood. So let's go out and, you know, practice hard and play hard and get a really good, solid win. Like I mentioned earlier, it always feels good to win, but this is a really feel-good win with the team coming together and what we battled through. And then we go have the memorial. So we get back home Saturday night. Sunday, we have move our Monday everything to Sunday.
You guys practice on Sunday.
Yes, yeah. We had our workouts and meetings on Sunday. So Monday we had off, so we were able to travel down to the memorial. And I said, like some time, and we, you know, we played games and had practices between, and we get to the memorial, and you know, you start to feel those emotions again. And what was really special was seeing how much, you know, it was all Utah. You know, you saw all the flower arrangements were red, and the U was everywhere, and
the family wore
Utah
shirts,
stuff, and
yeah.
Aaron was buried in his uniform, and when I saw that, that was really special, and
just
really made me, you know, look and say, you know, it's a day in day out grind, and what I'm doing on a personal level, but, you know, this was my teammate, you know, a son, a brother, a player to his coaches and stuff that were there from high school. And the highlight for them was that they had a boy that was a Utah football player. And so that just was really special for me to understand that, that the position I'm in, and not to take it for granted and everything.
It seemed like it had an impact on your performance as a team. It seemed like it really galvanized you guys. How do you feel about moving forward and what it'll mean to you guys the rest of the season?
Just Coach Witt mentioned, you know, when stuff like this happens, it either breaks one or two ways. It's either, you know, it divides a lot of people, or it's heavy, and which is no one could blame us really if we're feeling that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we come together stronger than before, and you know, we still make things happen. And so that's what I felt as a team was, you know, no one's going to get on us about, you know, if we lose and stuff, and because, you know, we've been battling our you know, the different battles with the tragedy.
Sure. Yeah.
But as a team, we don't want it to be, known as that, like, sorry team or pity team that's been going through a lot, but we still want to be able to do what we want to accomplish, which is, you know, go out and win games.
Coach Whittingham yesterday, since his press conference moved yesterday and their availability stuff has all been moved up and moved around this week, he mentioned that, like, feeling of it felt like there was some closure to it, where it was like, whereas the weeks before it was, you know, the memorial was coming up, you got this game, you got to play USC first, mm-hmm. The week of, you know, right after his death, you know, everybody was, you know, kind of walking through all those emotions. So I'm trying to figure out what the mix of feelings would be for you guys, where you go, we still want to honor him the rest of the season, we're going to, but we have a job to focus on now, and like his story is part of that job now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think what was said at the memorial was really good. Was, you know, we won't get over this, but we'll get through it together, and it's just being able to. You know, we won't forget Aaron or Ty with what we do moving forward as a football team. But, you know, this is just going to help us come together and to move forward still and, you know, have a positive impact on each other's lives and, you know, the universities, the fans, and, you know, have a positive season still.
Let's take another break here. When we come back, we haven't even spoken one word about this rather important game this weekend against Arizona State as they're coming to town.
Yep.
The two undefeated in the Pac-12 teams facing off against one another on a cold night, what will be a cold night here in Salt Lake City, up on the hill. 5-1 are the Arizona State Sun Devils coming into town, undefeated in Pac-12 play. The Utes turned that corner above 500 again and also undefeated in Pac-12 play. So this is a big one. We'll talk to Devin about prep for the Arizona State team that they're going to be facing this week. Much different animal, too. Mm-hmm. Much different offense on that side of things. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that. Much more to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It's the Players Club.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.